We will now jump into the basic beliefs of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And first, we'll just discuss a few of their doctrines. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe there is one solitary being from all eternity, Jehovah God, the creator and preserver of the universe and of all things visible and invisible. The Word of God, meaning Jesus Christ from the Bible in John chapter 1, the Logos, the Word, they believe is a God, a mighty God, the beginning of the creation of Jehovah and his active agent in the creation of all things. The Logos was made human as the man Jesus and suffered death to produce the ransom or redemptive price for obedient men. The Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God as it was originally given and has been preserved by God as the revealer of his purposes. Satan was a great angel who rebelled against Jehovah and challenged his sovereignty. Through Satan, sin and death came upon man. His destiny is annihilation with all his followers. Man was created in the image of Jehovah, but willfully sinned. Hence, all men are born sinners and are of the earth. Those who follow Jesus Christ faithfully to the death will inherit the heavenly kingdom with him. Men of good will who accept Jehovah and his theocratic rule will enjoy the new earth, and all others who reject Jehovah will be annihilated. And by his theocratic rule, they mean the Jehovah's Witness organization. The atonement is a ransom paid to Jehovah God by Christ Jesus and is applicable to all who accept it in righteousness. In brief, the death of Jesus removed the effects of Adam's sin on his offspring and laid the foundation of the new world of righteousness, including the millennium of Christ's reign. The man Christ Jesus was resurrected, a divine spirit creature, after offering the ransom for obedient man. The soul of man is not eternal, but mortal, and it can die. Animals likewise have souls, though man has the preeminence by special creation. Hell, meaning a place of fiery torment where sinners remain after death until the resurrection, does not exist. This is a doctrine of organized religion, not the Bible. Hell is the common grave of mankind, literally Sheol, a place of rest and hope, where the departed sleep until the resurrection by Jehovah God. Eternal punishment is a punishment or penalty of which there is no end. It does not mean eternal torment of living souls. Annihilation, the second death, is the lot of all those who reject Jehovah God, and it is eternal. Jesus Christ has returned to earth in the year 1914, has expelled Satan from heaven, and is proceeding to overthrow Satan's organization, establish the theocratic millennial kingdom, and vindicate the name of Jehovah God. He did not return in a physical form and is invisible as the Logos. The kingdom of Jehovah is supreme and as such cannot be compatible with present human government. And any allegiance to them in any way which violates the allegiance owed to him is a violation of the scripture. And this last belief is the reason why Jehovah's Witnesses don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, they don't vote, they won't serve in the military. If drafted, they will religiously object as conscientious objectors. And that's, many people who know Jehovah's Witnesses might ask why they are like that. Well, this is why. They believe that human governments are Satan's governments. With those basic beliefs being listed, we will now jump into each one by topic. First, the Holy Trinity. To understand what they believe about the Holy Trinity, we will take some quotes out of their own literature from Let God Be True, The Word, Who Is He, according to John, What Does God Require of Us, and Should You Believe in the Trinity? So what they say about the Trinity is, and I'm quoting, "The doctrine, in brief, is that there are three gods in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all three equal in power, substance, and eternity." Now, that's how they define the doctrine of the Trinity as Christians would believe it. Continuing with quotes, "The obvious conclusion is, therefore, that Satan is the originator of the Trinity doctrine. Sincere persons who want to know the true God and serve Him find it a bit difficult to love and worship a complicated, freakish-looking, three-headed God. The Trinity doctrine was not conceived by Jesus or the early Christians. The plain truth is that this is another of Satan's attempts to keep God-fearing persons from learning the truth of Jehovah and His Son, Christ Jesus. There is no Trinity. Any trying to reason out the Trinity leads to confusion of mind. So the Trinity teaching confuses the meaning of John 1, 1-2. It does not simplify it or make it clear or easy to understand. Is Jehovah a Trinity, three persons in one God? No. Jehovah the Father is the only true God. Jesus is His firstborn Son, and He is subject to God. The Father is greater than the Son. The Holy Spirit is not a person. It is God's active force. And lastly, if the Trinity were true, it should be clearly and consistently presented in the Bible. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. Thus, neither the 39 books of the Hebrew Scriptures nor the canon of 27 inspired books of the Christian Greek Scriptures provide any clear teaching of the Trinity. Thus, the testimony of the Bible and of history makes clear that the Trinity was unknown throughout biblical times and for several centuries thereafter." Now, these quotes combine to let us know that the Jehovah's Witnesses do deny the Trinity. They do not believe that Jesus is God. They do not believe that the Holy Spirit is God. They aggressively and mockingly deny it. Now we will look at the deity of Christ, what Jehovah's Witnesses believe about the deity of Christ. These quotes are taken from their publications entitled The Kingdom is at Hand, From Paradise Lost to Paradise Regained, The Word, Who is He?, and Should You Believe in the Trinity? So the first thing they say about Jesus is, "The true scriptures speak of God's Son, the Word, as a God. He is a mighty God, but not the Almighty God, who is Jehovah. In other words, He was the first and direct creation of Jehovah God. The Bible shows that there is only one God greater than His Son, and that the Son, as the firstborn, only begotten, and the creation by God, has a beginning. That the Father is greater and older than the Son is reasonable, easy to understand, and is what the Bible teaches. Jesus was the Son of God, not God Himself. The very fact that He was sent proves He was not equal with God, but was less than God His Father. Certainly, the Apostle John was not so unreasonable as to say that someone, the Word, was with some other individual, God. Thus, Jesus had an existence in heaven before coming to earth. But was it one of the person in an almighty, eternal, triune Godhead? No, for the Bible plainly states that in His pre-human existence, Jesus was a created spirit being, just as angels were spirit beings created by God. Neither the angels nor Jesus had existed before their creation. To summarize, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus has deity. They don't believe He's God. They believe that He is a creature. He was created by God in a similar way that the angels were created by God. Now we will read some quotes from them from Let God Be True, The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life, Aid to Bible Understanding, Should You Believe the Trinity, The Word, Who is He, according to John? And What Does God Require of Us? About the Holy Spirit. So here's what they believe about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the invisible active force of Almighty God that moves his servants to do his will. As for the Holy Spirit, the so-called third person of the Trinity, we have already seen that it is not a person, but God's active force. The scriptures themselves unite to show that God's Holy Spirit is not a person, but is God's active force by which he accomplishes his purpose and executes his will. The Bible's use of Holy Spirit indicates that it is a controlled force that Jehovah God uses to accomplish a variety of his purposes. To a certain extent, it can be likened to electricity, a force that can be adapted to perform a great variety of operations. No, the Holy Spirit is not a person, and it is not part of a Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God's active force that he uses to accomplish his will. It is not equal to God, but is always at his disposition and subordinate to him. We now move to the virgin birth. And again, we will explain Jehovah's Witnesses' belief on the virgin birth from quoting them out of From Paradise Lost to Paradise Regained and What Has Religion Done for Mankind? So first, Mary was a virgin when Joseph learned that Mary was going to have a child. He did not want to take her as his wife. But God's angel said, "That which has been begotten in her is by the Holy Spirit." He took Mary, his wife, home, but he had no relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Jesus was conceived by a sinless, perfect father, Jehovah God. The perfect child Jesus did not get human life from the sinner Adam, but received only a human body through Adam's descendant Mary. Jesus' life came from Jehovah God, the Holy One. Jehovah took the perfect life of his only begotten Son and transferred it from heaven to the womb of the unmarried girl Mary. Thus, God's Son was conceived or given a start as a human creature. It was a miracle. Under Jehovah's holy power, the child Jesus, conceived in this way, grew in Mary's womb to the point of birth. Jesus' birth on earth was not an incarnation. He emptied himself of all things heavenly and spiritual, and God's Almighty Spirit transferred his son's life down to the womb of the Jewish virgin girl of David's descendant. By this miracle, he was born a man. He was not a spirit-human hybrid, a man and at the same time a spirit person. He was flesh. And while on earth, Jesus was a human, although a perfect one, because it was God who transferred the life force of Jesus to the womb of Mary. So again, we have a denial that Jesus is God. Now, one note that we should look at here is, if you deny the Trinity, then you have to make up a lot of other explanations for clearly taught biblical doctrines. If you deny that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are both God, if you deny the Trinity, then you're forced to explain away other passages that do teach that Jesus was God or that the Holy Spirit is God. Next is the atonement. And we're going to quote the Jehovah's Witnesses out of Let God Be True, You May Survive Armageddon Into God's New World, and Should You Believe the Trinity. So what they believe about the atonement: that which is redeemed or brought back is what was lost, namely perfect human life, with its rights and earthly prospects. Jesus, as the glorified high priest, by presenting in heaven this redemptive price, is in position to relieve the believing ones of Adam's descendants from inherited disability under which all were born. The human life that Jesus Christ laid down in sacrifice must be exactly equal to that life which Adam forfeited for all his offspring. It must be a perfect human life, no more, no less. This is just what Jesus gave for men of all kinds. Jesus, no more and no less than a perfect human, became a ransom that compensated exactly for what Adam lost, the right to perfect human life on earth. The perfect human life of Jesus was the corresponding ransom required by divine justice, no more, no less. A basic principle, even of human justice, is that the price paid should fit the wrong committed. So the ransom, to be truly in line with God's justice, had to be strictly an equivalent, a perfect human, the last Adam. Thus, when God sent Jesus to earth as the ransom, he made Jesus to be what would satisfy justice. Not an incarnation, not a God-man, but a perfect man, lower than the angels. Now we'll look at salvation by grace. Ephesians 2 clearly teaches that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ. But what do the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about salvation by grace? And here's several quotes from their teachings. Immortality is a reward for faithfulness. It does not come automatically to a human at birth. Those people of goodwill today who avail themselves of the provision and who steadfastly abide in this confidence will find Christ Jesus to be their everlasting Father. We have learned that a person could fall away and be judged unfavorably either now or at Armageddon or during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign or at the end of the final test into everlasting destruction. Make haste to identify the visible theocratic organization of God that represents his King, Jesus Christ. It is essential for life. Doing so, be complete in accepting its every aspect. To receive everlasting life in the earthly paradise, we must identify that organization and serve God as a part of it. So, to be clear, they claim that they are God's representatives. They are God's theocratic rule, his kingdom now on earth. And to be saved, you have to be a part of them and accept all that they teach. Accept every aspect of the organization. Now we will look at what they believe about the resurrection of Christ. Again, with quotes. This firstborn from the dead was raised from the grave, not a human creature, but a spirit. Jehovah God raised him from the dead, not as a human son, but as a mighty, immortal spirit son. For 40 days after that, he materialized, as angels before him had done, to show himself alive to his disciples. Jesus did not take his body to heaven to be forever a man in heaven. Had he done so, that would have left him even lower than the angels. God did not purpose for Jesus to be humiliated thus forever by being a fleshly man forever. No, but after he had sacrificed his perfect manhood, God raised him to deathless life as a glorious spirit creature. Usually, they could not at first tell it was Jesus, for he appeared in different bodies. He appeared and disappeared just as angels had done, because he was resurrected as a spirit creature. Only because Thomas would not believe did Jesus appear in a body like that in which he had died. Having given up his flesh for the life of the world, Christ could never take it again and become a man once more. For that basic reason, his return could never be in the human body that he sacrificed once for all time. As a quick summary, when Jesus died, his body is gone. He did not physically raised in a resurrected body. He did not walk the earth in a resurrected body, and he ascended back up into heaven where he originally came from as a spirit being. And because of that belief, or because of their belief that Jesus returned invisibly, they believe this, whichever it works out, they deny that Christ is God, they deny that he was raised in a body, and therefore, they believe that he has already returned, but he returned invisibly. Which leads us to our next point, the return of Christ and human government. And here's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about the return of Christ and human government. Christ Jesus returns, not again as a human, but as a glorious spirit person. Some wrongfully expect a literal fulfillment of the symbolic statements of the Bible. Some hope to see the glorified Jesus coming seated on a white cloud where every human eye will see him. Since no earthly men have ever seen the Father, neither will they see the glorified Son. it does not mean that he, Christ, is on the way or has promised to come, but that he has already arrived and is here. Any national flag is a symbol or image of the sovereign power of its nation. All such likenesses, symbols of a national power, eagle, sun, lion, etc., are forbidden by Exodus 20:2-6, the commandment against idolatry. Hence, no witnesses of Jehovah who ascribe salvation only to him may salute any national emblem without violating Jehovah's commandment against idolatry as stated in his word. The next point is the existence of hell and eternal punishment. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach this. Those who have been taught by Christendom believe the God-dishonoring doctrine of fiery hell for tormenting conscious human souls eternally. It is so plain that the biblical hell is mankind's common grave that even an honest little child can understand it, but not the religious theologians. Who is responsible for this God-defaming doctrine of a hell of torment? The promulgator of it is Satan himself. His purpose in introducing it has been to frighten the people away from studying the Bible and to make them hate God. Imperfect man does not torture even a mad dog, but kills it. And yet the clergymen attribute to God, who is love, the wicked crime of torturing human creatures merely because they had the misfortune to be born sinners. The doctrine of a burning hell where the wicked are tortured eternally after death cannot be true, mainly for four reasons. One, because it is wholly unscriptural. Two, it is unreasonable. Three, it is contrary to God's love. And four, it is repugnant to justice. It is a lie which the devil has spread that the souls of the wicked are tormented in a hell or a purgatory. So, to be clear, the Jehovah's Witnesses just flat out deny that hell exists and that it's been created by educated theologians and clergymen of the Christian faith to scare people away from God, who is love. Next is man, the soul, his nature, and destiny. So naturally, they have to provide what they believe about man, his soul, his nature, and his destiny if they deny hell. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that man is a combination of two things, namely the dust of the ground and the breath of life. The combining of these two things, or factors, produced a living soul, or creature, called man. So we see that the claim of religionists that man has an immortal soul and therefore differs from the beast is not scriptural. The fact that the human soul is mortal can be amply proved by a careful study of the Holy Scriptures. An immortal soul cannot die, but God's word at Ezekiel 18:4 says concerning humans, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It is clearly seen that even the man, Christ Jesus, was mortal. He did not have an immortal soul. Jesus, the human soul, died. Thus, it is seen that the serpent, the devil, is the one that originated the doctrine of the inherent immortality of human souls. The scriptures show that the destiny of the sinful man is death. The Holy Scriptures alone offer real hope for those who do seek Jehovah God and strive to follow his ways. At death, man's spirit, his life force, which is sustained by breathing, goes out. It no longer exists. When they are dead, both humans and animals are in the same state of complete unconsciousness. That the soul lives on after death is a lie started by the devil. The human soul ceases to exist at death. Hell is mankind's common grave, not eternal punishment. The last thing we'll look at is the kingdom of heaven, what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe about the kingdom of heaven. And I'm quoting, "Who and how many are able to enter it? The revelation limits to 144,000 the number that became a part of the kingdom, and stand on heavenly Mount Zion. In the capacity of priests and kings of God, they reign 1,000 years with Christ Jesus. He, Christ, went to prepare a heavenly place for his associate heirs, Christ's body, for they too will be invisible spirit creatures. If it is to be a heavenly kingdom, who will be the subject of its rule? In the invisible realm, angelic hosts, myriads of them, will serve as faithful messengers of the King. And on earth, the faithful children of the King Christ Jesus, including faithful forefathers who have been resurrected, will be princes in all the earth. Then, too, the great crowd of his other sheep will continue to serve him day and night, and many of them will also be princes. They will multiply and fill the earth in righteousness, and their children will become obedient subjects of the King Christ Jesus. And finally, the unrighteous ones that are to be resurrected then, to prove their integrity, must joyfully submit themselves to theocratic rule. Those who prove rebellious or who turn unfaithful during the loosing of Satan at the end of Christ's 1,000-year reign will be annihilated with Satan the devil. The Creator loved the new world so much that he gave his only begotten Son to be its king. The undefeatable purpose of Jehovah God to establish a righteous kingdom in the last days was fulfilled in AD 1914. Obey the King, Christ Jesus, and flee, while there is still time, to the kingdom heights. Time left is short, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. Only a little flock of 144,000 go to heaven and rule with Christ. The 144,000 are born again as spiritual sons of God. So their kingdom of heaven seems to be multifaceted. If I'm understanding it correctly, they believe that there are 144,000 who become spirit creatures, kind of like Christ, and rule with him in the heavenly realm. The rest of those who are compliant to the Jehovah's Witnesses' teaching, to the Jehovah's Witnesses' God, they are the ones who are on the new earth itself, running the new earth. But all others who are of Satan and all others who are rebellious and deny this will be completely annihilated. They're destroyed. So there is no eternal damnation. They just simply will not exist anymore.